It's time now for another round of Conversations with the Mayors, presented by the Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carborough, coming up May 17th, a week from tomorrow. They will honor the very best in business at the BEES, the Business Excellence Awards. Join for a dazzling red carpet award ceremony, entertainment, and a dessert reception as well. Get your tickets online at carolinachamber.org. Find out more about the town of Carborough at townofcarborough.org. And following up on Mayor Heminger's visit last hour, we've got Mayor Lydia Lavelle of Carborough here in the studio this hour. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing good. So a town Board of Aldermen met earlier this week with a number of items on the agenda. We kind of talked about the budget a little bit last week, but Town Manager David Andrews presented his official budget proposal to the board this week. So what additional stuff can we say about it now?
Yeah. So he did. As you see, I have a big, thick binder
ready to go through this
weekend. but as I forecast last week, our general fund, roughly $24.2 million, capital projects, roughly $31.3 million, total, including stormwater utility fund, about $58.5 million. But several high points from it. One point I want to mention is that our sales tax collection continues to really grow over the last 10 years, and that's not only a reflection on Carborough, that's a reflection on the county, because it's distributed percentage-wise throughout the county. But I will say I do feel like Carborough has contributed to that and will continue to contribute with more, developments that are underway, South Green and Lloyd Farm on the way, that should be able to add to that sales tax base.
How much of a reflection is that on Carborough and Orange County, and how much of that is state trends, triangle trends, national trends?
Yeah, it's national trends in that the economy's up.
Right.
And so the manager was quick to remind us, and I think there's a statement right in here, given the nature and base of sales tax revenue, this could change quickly.
Right,
so it could change
right.
on a dime. I mean,
yeah.
And that's the thing about it is that it's very national economy, frankly, dependent. Mm. But anyway, that's a good sign. It's a good thing because, in Carborough, where we don't have a big old Walmart or, Costco or something, part of our strategy to raise money for the town has been to invite people to come downtown, spend money, go out to eat, buy things, go home.
Yep.
So anyway, that was one big point he made. Another I mentioned, which I wanted to clarify too last week, was that we had already decided last year to add a half cent to our sales tax to go to our affordable housing fund. This year, the manager is recommending another half cent property tax increase to go to our affordable housing fund. And then next year, we will have another half cent to go to the affordable housing fund. So we will have over that 3-year period, we will have eased in kind of an increase of 1.5% toward affordable housing, which of course is a really strong initiative of our board, as well as other jurisdictions in the county. Something else too, I just thought was kind of interesting in here, digging in the weeds, Aaron. I was looking at this. You might appreciate this. There are these little kind of small funds that we also get money from. Mm-hmm. One is called telecommunications sales tax, and the other one is local video programming revenue distributions. And these are revenues, I guess, that come in statewide and they trickle down to the local jurisdictions. Well, as you might expect, both of these taxes have started to decline in recent years. The telecommunications sales tax revenue is evidently a tax that used to trickle down from landline telephone service. So
okay.
that's slowing down.
Right,
That's really interesting. The other is that obviously, local video programming revenue distributions are decreasing. Quote, people are cutting the cord. So in that way,
that is true.
We're getting
yeah.
less money.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting.
Interesting.
On the other hand, I noticed that beer and wine sales tax is increasing. So we're having more money there. And I wonder.
But we've cut the cord. We got to do something with the rest right. of our time.
Well, and also I wondered, how we all had the brunch bill. We're
yes,
able to now
yeah,
sell
yeah.
alcohol on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So, it's interesting how, technology and change can really affect even these little sales taxes. In fact, that's what our transportation department, our North Carolina DOT is really facing right now as we're getting declining, you know, gas revenues.
Right, water and sewer fees too, right? Kind of the same issue as we use less water, we're paying less in fees.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. I thought you'd like to hear that. But in general, you know, the operations expenses, the manager highlighted a lot of our priorities. And again, folks can look at the report themselves or watch the video, but some of our initiatives that we're definitely continuing are implementation of our parking plan. We can talk about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. Implementing solid waste study pilot program. We're going to try to do a pilot of collection of garbage every other week in a select area of town and see how that goes. That could generate a lot of cost savings. And we're finding that our recycling actually gets more in the bins than our solid waste does. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, so we'll be doing that. We're going to continue to pursue our gold level bicycle designation. We're doing some facility and space renovations. We have some new permitting software for our planning department that we're told is going to increase some of the streamlining of from application all the way through to approval. And I've kind of seen this myself when I see some of the forms that we look at that developers have submitted. And I've mentioned, you know, can't we update these forms? And staff says, yes, we're going to as part of this new permitting program. So that's going to be kind of exciting too. And finally, I'll just mention that we're also going to really dig into our strategic energy and climate protection plan, you know, our community climate plan. And our, you know, stormwater is going to be a priority as well. So those are just some highlights.
Awesome. So next steps on the budget, public hearings, I assume, will be?
Yes. Okay, so next steps, and this, so let's just talk a minute about the parking plan.
Okay, yeah.
Because one of the talks that we had, one of the items of discussion we had briefly, the manager of city presented it to us on Tuesday night. We have a work session that's coming up in a few Tuesdays. I can get that exact date for you. But meanwhile, we, as part of our work session, actually, this one's next Tuesday, because I'm not going to be there because I'm going to be at a conference. But the board is going to discuss whether we want to bite the bullet and have a tax increase and add staff. Because we have a couple of areas, and they both happen to fall in planning, where we really understand that staff is at capacity. Mm-hmm. And our staff's great. But, you know, they could use some help implementing all these great ideas that we all have, in particular along the lines of transportation, our sidewalk improvements, our bicycling, our bicycle plan, but also just figuring out how parking fits into that, mm-hmm. Does or doesn't fit into it, and especially as it relates to the 203 project. So that's one area. And also we have some real fervency around really trying to get that community climate action plan implemented. So board members are going to have a discussion on Tuesday around whether we should, add some, because right now the manager's budget only adds a position and a half, and it's a half-time, it's in solid waste, and I think recreation and park, it's not in the planning department. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a big conversation. The other item then we had on Tuesday night was an update for our parking plan. And so what's happening is this. We had a parking plan that we commissioned and that we accepted a few years ago. And so now we find ourselves wanting to build the 203 project with the county, including the library. And so we're having a lot of conversation around how parking will be provided for the library and how it fits into the ongoing implementation of the parking plan. And so Annette Stone, our economic development director, she gave a little presentation on Tuesday night of her efforts to date in implementing the plan. She gave this, she and Zach, our transportation planner, kind of gave their update of how it's mm-hmm. been implemented. And part of our challenge with parking in downtown Carrboro is that the town only controls 13% of the parking. 87% is controlled by private parties. Annette outlined some of her efforts to try to have owners of those lots work with the town on making them available for parking. And it comes down to a lot of these places have shared arrangements already, and so they don't want to give up their parking, mm-hmm. And then not have parking for their folks. But a lot of what it comes down to is enforcement and just kind of monitoring, like maybe even, dare I say it, starting to charge for parking in Carrboro. And so that would involve a complete kind of a little turnaround from the way we've operated. But if we're going to build the library where we're going to build it, 203 South Greensboro, it's going to take up 88 spaces. It's actually going to take up 100 spaces if you count the street parking.
Right.
The library itself will require at least 50 spaces. The Parks and Recreation and other entities that will be in the building will probably need up to close to 100 spaces. So we're looking at where do we find 200 spaces. And so part of our discussion of the plan is, you know, where do we find that? Do we lease other lots? Do we consider building a deck? Do we work more fervently on trying to create relationships with other businesses in town and then have to figure out some way of enforcement? So that's a heavy discussion we're going to have, and we need to have it soon. Because it's really part of a key to moving forward with the library project. So we'll be having that discussion sometime in the next month or so on one of our agendas.
How much does South Green come into this conversation? Because we do have that development right there at the bottom of the hill, and then it's just a question of shuttling people from there to downtown if they want to get there.
Yeah. It's, you know, South Green, as any development, you know, they put in the amount of parking they're required to have for their development, right? So I think they're presumed. Actually, it's really a good question, because I guess the presumption is that people will go there, park there, and stay there.
Right.
So, yeah, let's hope people don't go there, park there, and then walk all around town. But, you know, is that and how do we feel about that? Well, if there's a lot of parking, if that adds to the downtown, that's something South Green will have to think a little bit about, because I know some of our other folks in town are okay with that, and then some aren't, because they want to make sure they have parking for their own businesses. It's a great question. Of course, right now, South Green is a little removed, but once we have the sidewalk up Greensboro Street, mm-hmm. it'll be easier to get up there. Right now, you can walk up through, of course, Roberson Place, but it's a little uphill walk. But still, you know, we're all used to walking around Carrboro. I mean, someone made the comment the other day that, from Carrboro Town Hall to, I think, the hotel, if you were to lay South Point Mall on top of Carrboro, it's about that same distance.
That seems about right.
And we kind of, people go to South Point Mall and we'll walk from one end to the other. It just seems, Carrboro, seems almost overwhelming to think about walking from one end of Carrboro to the other.
Yeah.
It might not even be a mile.
But from Town Hall to the hotel, it's very, very, it's a nice short walk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And so there are still a lot of places along the way that you can park. I mean, but sometimes I just park at Town Hall and walk in, or even Carrboro Elementary. So.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle. So much more to say about both the budget and the parking plan as we get further into this month and beyond. Again, townofcarrboro.org for more information on town government. So going up a level, since we're talking about the fact that it's budget season locally, it's also budget season on the state level. Still a lot to talk about at the level of the General Assembly, with negotiations to be had, and the final budget won't get passed until June. But how much does the state level budget talk affect what goes on in terms of local budgeting and local government, and what are you most closely watching as far as that goes?
Well, budget-wise, kind of lightly tracking stuff, okay? But honestly, any financial mandate that would come down, recognizing the position that puts local government in, they usually kind of they usually delay them a little bit, right? Like they might say, here's what we're going to adopt along the lines of a new sales tax distribution, but it might not take effect till July 1st, 2020, to give you time to then work it into your budget. So right now, not really nervously anticipating anything terrible budget-wise, other than what's already happening, because there are a few things that are in the loop. They're always talking about new ways to redistribute sales tax. We've had to absorb more local government monies than in the past because of a new way that the treasurer and his board has figured the contributions.
Mm-hmm.
There has been some debate about a firefighter early separation allowance. I'm not sure that that's going to come out or not, but all of those things could end up with more money, being required from us. But again, they often, push those out just a little bit so that you can account for them. I will say what's been really interesting because every Friday I'm on a phone call with all the mayors, mm-hmm. and our director and our lobbyists. what's been very, very different this year is having that veto power. Because,
yeah.
You know, in previous years, you'd be like, oh, my gosh, it's going to pass, and it's going to pass, and it's going to get signed, and boom. You know, but there's a lot more, seemingly, a lot more negotiation, you know, a lot more input. There's not a lot of crazy stuff that's just going to happen, because if it's that crazy, the governor's going to veto it,
right.
You know? It's really remarkably different, Aaron. It's kind of almost stunning, and what I've heard is that, you know, for many of the members of the House, because the House and Senate, I mean, because that's turned over, right, in recent years, practically, you know, it's a new day for all of them. For those in power, they're finding it different, and for those who never had the power, they're like, oh my gosh, it's like a new feeling, a new aura there. So I guess that's, I think that's good news. You know, that's, well, it's definitely good news. Resolution. I want to mention this resolution to you.
Yeah.
Damon Siles is the member has been meeting with a group of local progressive officials in North Carolina to kind of gather and talk about, you know, kind of policies we want to push from the local level. Those of us that are progressive, and so he has drafted a resolution kind of in support of North Carolina's working people and their families, and it's got some Carbro-specific language in it, but it specifically references three bills that were introduced this year that I studied them a little bit this afternoon before I came in here. I don't think they're going to make crossover.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that at least two of them aren't going to make crossover. And even if they made crossover, I'm not sure if they would end up passing or not. But all of them are ones really looking out for, you know, the people and their kids and family members and so on. And these three in particular are, you know, the legislation to provide paid family leave for workers, legislation, you know, to raise the minimum wage, and legislation to repeal right-to-work laws and extend collective bargaining. Okay, so now, do those have a chance of passing? Probably not, but it's nice to see these kind of introduced. It's nice to see people talking about them, and as the General Assembly continues to shift a little bit, and as local government gets around it, even if it doesn't move forward or even hit the crossover, we'll still pass this resolution, and hopefully other, you know, local governments will too, and maybe we can get things kind of turned around for the people of the state.
Yeah, absolutely. Townofcarborough.org for more information on town government, and keep following the discussion locally about the budget and the parking plan, because those are both going to be ongoing going forward. Mayor Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.